Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
O'Reilly. Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We are doing it as a recording instead of a live stream because of the copyright strike.
Well, one, yeah, you take it as a badge of honor that you've been copyrighted. And two, right, we could, like, you know that thing where you say, like, leave your messages in the comments and I'll get back to you? You could do that.
Yeah, like and subscribe.
like and subscribe, leave your message in the comments because we can't see you in the live chat, so you've got to leave them down there and then on the next one we'll talk about
it. Go for me, save Smudge's fucking YouTube channel.
If we all don't get a quid,
we'll get one person.
I'm still not sure why what we were copyrighted on. Like what action?
Oh,
was it the Dark Styles song?
No,
it wasn't the podcast.
It was the watch along. So when we're doing the watch along for the which game was it? It wasn't the pressing game. The Millwall game. I was doing the transition so you could see the game, like footage, you know, and you can like pop up for a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
I just like had that halfway offloaded because I thought it looked funny that you could see the game and my face at the same time, and they just went, yeah, no, bang. So, don't do that.
But you can't even do like the 5 second thing anymore.
No, it wasn't 5 seconds, it was about 20, but I was like, oh, that looks funny, that's cool. Yeah, they didn't like it. But they didn't tell me to, like, stop doing it. They just went, nah, fuck you.
You know what, Smithy? You know, I'm gonna round this off. You know what? Fuck him. When Andrew's face was as blank as a fucking piece of paper.
Oh, somebody's discovered the buttons. That's not good. Right. So, should we actually talk about Sunderland now, rather than...
No, we need to do... What special day is this?
We
had a pre-podcast meeting about what we were going to do.
We're going to say what we're thankful for because Thanksgiving in America. Because the person who suggested it is to my left.
Right.
Because you couldn't be asked to get a fun fact for the podcast this time.
Not that I couldn't be asked, mate. It's that I was looking for a fact that, like, an overlapping fact, because today's Thanksgiving and also Sunderland, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for an overlapping in the middle of the Venn diagram fact that has to do with both Thanksgiving and Sunderland, and it turns out there's fucking none, right?
Yep.
I'm thankful for Northern Monk Faith, Hazy Pale Ale. And if you're wondering what I'm drinking, it's Northern Monk Faith, Hazy Pale Ale. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers. I think David might be thankful for vitamins.
I was going to say it. I'm thankful for multivitamins, not that I use them. Not that I've ever a multivitamin has passed my lips, but I tell you what, I'll probably be thankful for them when I actually do start taking them. Like,
what? And you get 7 days without getting a sniffle.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, it's been a fortnight, and I'm feeling all right. I'm thankful for heat. This blanket.
It's freezing. I nearly came on here with a hat on because it's fucking freezing in this house. Like,
It's fucking tropical in my house. I'm thankful for my central heating. Let's move on.
And I'm thankful for a good night's sleep. Just having a chilled out. I might actually just go to the beach as well, which is...
Oh, yeah. How far away from the beach? Like, you know, we should just have conversations like this outside of this allocated time, because we only get a small amount of allocated time.
Pretty much like...
Are there any beach babes down there, or...
The Bondi babes.
I haven't looked.
Yeah, I haven't personally looked. But for the benefit of
no,
the listeners, mate, after this, just go down and start fucking perving. and then break for next week.
Was there any Rippling Bods?
No.
Right, okay, West Brom.
Was it West Brom first? Did we play? No, we
got one game last.
We've got to go with Millwall game first, yes. Oh, so what was that? That was the 1-1 draw. We took the lead thanks to Aaron Connolly's volley.
We did. Good goal.
It was good finish, wasn't it? Yeah.
And what minute did they let
in? I did watch the last podcast, because the one that I couldn't be here for, because I was was out. And Alan spent pretty much the entire time saying Aaron Connolly's fucking shite, and he never went to see him again.
I do not want to say.
Not 24 hours later, he banged in that one.
Yeah, no, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I want more out of him. I feel like, you know, I get that was a good goal, but everyone can swing a fucking golf club. You know what I mean? It's the contribution to the whole game. Isidore, like, I'll give you a fucking, a comparison. Isidore against West Brom, mate, he did not stop. He was constantly, mate. The lads got oodles and oodles of energy, mate. He was constantly running and pressing, mate. Even when he got there was no goal from him, and you know his contribution was limited. It's the effort, you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying about Connolly. He might come on and do something magic like that, but it's the whole package we want, mate. You know what I mean? Yeah, it was a good goal, but give me more. You know what I mean? Like Isidore didn't score, but he put himself on the line the whole West Brom game. Mate. He didn't stop.
I think he's been like that since he's just turned up, really. Like.
You rather have someone who who tries and doesn't score, or somebody who doesn't try and pops it away?
I'd rather have just goals first.
Yeah,
it's a good question. Ultimately, it's a results game, isn't it? Like, so you know, like Haaland just fucking sit in the box and wait for the ball to come.
Yeah, that's fine, but one goal ain't enough. If you're gonna say that, you can be lazy as fuck. Give me 10 goals then. Do you know what I mean? But I just don't think.
So if he banged 10 goals in, but he did now, what else you'd be having?
Yeah, because that's a good comeback, isn't it? Good return. I'm eating a bush with Troy.
If you rewind time, I said when Aaron, what's it called, Connolly came in, I was like, if we get 10 goals out of this guy, but 10 goal contributions, I think I said, so goals or assists, it would be a decent sort of return on our.
Where did we go, John?
He's on a free, yeah.
But
he was in the Championship last year.
He's been at Middlesbrough. He's been a journeyman.
Yeah,
had some dramas though, didn't he? He had some.
Yes.
I get that, and I'm sympathetic towards it, but at the end of the day, I can be sympathetic towards someone's personal life, but all I'm worried about is my team going up, mate.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like...
Anything before the bus is irrelevant.
So you could say, like, I'm not racist, but... And then...
and then come up with some mega racist.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, words before the word but, you might as well just get rid of that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Well, you said, but like, what
like,
mind thought, just... like, arse. Like, anything before the arse. I was like, all right, okay. But like, your torso or your legs? Which way we're going here?
Get your mind out of the gutter, mate. Sunderland have had a good season, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can we spin back to the Millwall game?
Yeah.
Get off the rails again.
Yeah, okay.
Feel free to shout out.
So.
Thank you. What I will say about that game is we were pretty good in the first half, like very good in the first half. Second half, I'm not going to say the intensity dropped off, but they got much better. Like they got much better, and they piled the pressure on.
Mm-hmm.
Like really piled the pressure on. And I was, you know, like when there's only one goal in it, I tend to get a bit like edgy about it. And I was sitting there thinking, we're going to see this out, like. Like, I cannot see them, even though they've got a lot of pressure, I just couldn't see them scoring, and then obviously they fucking scored. Like, I just walked out the room for a second, and then from the kitchen, I heard Alan fucking screaming. I was like, shit. What, either we've scored or we've conceded. I couldn't tell, because I couldn't hear the words. I could just hear, like, Alan's fucking tone like, through the walls. And I went back in, saw it was ones apiece. I was like,
reverberating. Yeah, Andrew walked in. I was like,
if you watch the story back in Smudge, we're asking for it here. I think I said that numerous times.
Yeah.
Like in that second half, I said, if we're not careful here, you know, it was the midfield, mate. I was like, where they gone? I'm trying to jump forward to the West Brom game because with Joe back, mate, and Regan Neil, we look.
Yeah,
fucking 100% better. I don't know what it is. It's like Joe the magic ingredient, but it works. I know. I felt so, Alisson. I mean, he could have scored, and he could have like seen the players gone. Yeah, it was a masterstroke. It was 2-1. But I feel like that second half, the midfield, mate, was missing it a lot. Methan, mate, he's a fucking sign of season, isn't he, mate? He is class.
Solid,
he reads the
yeah.
game well. He's a great defender, mate. You know, I like Ballard. He's a different gravy. Like he's really good. I know. I was reading my head on him.
Like he's really fucking calm and sensible, and he controls like the game so well. Like he's like Jeromo and John O'Shea, like he had no pace, but he read the game so well, like he just knew where to be at all times.
Mm.
I'm not saying he's as slow as John O'Shea, but like that's sort of vibes I'm getting. Like he just reads the game so well. There's no fucking around, there's no messing around. He just does his fucking job. He does it really well. Like I think he's a great player.
Yeah, great.
Super impressed with him, mate. He might play the season for Farmer, and like I just think he gives it the back four confidence. And I don't know what it is with Joe, but when he put him in that midfield, like Imrig and Nail, they look a lot better.
I tell you, when Joe was in there, Rig looked so... I know we're jumping around here. Like, when Joe was in there, Rig, I had so... like he was just so much better.
I think it's a little bit of more... Yeah, it's more... He knows somebody else is covering that responsibility of closing down and finding passes.
Could be. And what I will say about Job is like he's always been like this though, hasn't he? He's always been like a mature head on his shoulders, like ever since he's come in.
He had like, a bit of burnout.
What I mean, he is like mentally like ahead of his age. Do you know what I mean? Like I think he's
so is Rig. I mean, Rig looked fast that against West Brom. He was like shrugging fucking big, fucking blokes off and that, and you know, and he looked calm. But I just think them three together, like look, Nails sometimes makes a mistake, and I can live with that as. If they're working as a three that well, you know, I thought we'd dominate against West Brom, and I thought we were unlucky. I thought Patrick could have scored, Isidore, maybe if it was a bit lower and the back post could have scored. Our shooting wasn't great, like on the knee, but I just think West Brom really just sat in and just wanted a counter. They could have nicked it, to be fair, a couple of times, but
So
I think we were miles better than them.
I've got one last point to say on the Millwall game before I got some points on the West Brom game. Mayenda played off the wing again, and Mayenda looks good off the wing. So he was playing there because Roberts was suspended, wasn't he? He's a fucking presence, and he gets the ball. And I said this at the start of the season when he was playing up top. When he's got the ball at his feet and he's running at defenders, they fucking shit themselves every time. Watch them back off and back off and back off and back off every single time.
It was under all the... And
can you have your own fucking personal conversation in your own time, like...
I'm fucking, excuse me, fucking hell, you're just asking about a dummy, like
that's funny though.
Right, there's a little button, right, it kind of looks like a microphone, you can press it anytime you want.
Does that mean,
right, as I was saying, fucking Mayenda off the wing looks good. Like I think he's a real option. Like the game before, when Roberts was got his yellow card or whatever, so he's suspended for a game.
Yep.
I was fucking screaming for Roberts to get off the pitch. Like it was the game that me and you were at, David. I can't remember which one it was now. At the stadium.
Coventry.
Yeah.
Roberts was fucking crap in that game, and he was crap whole game. And I was like, even though I was like, get him off, I didn't really know who would fill that hole.
But I feel like
Mayenda is an option there, I'm telling you. He's good.
I agree with that.
Roberts is he's a confidence player, and I think if one or two things don't go right from in-game, his head goes down, you can see it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think once he has a good start, he gets an assist or gets a goal, beats a few men, then his confidence is up. You know what I mean? So I'm reluctant to get him back. I do like Roberts.
I just think it's been a very, very, very long time. We're talking like knocking on the door 2 years since Roberts has been consistently good over like a spate of games. He has the occasional game where he's good.
Yeah. What are you wanting from him, Andrew? He's 2 years older now when he was
there you go. I'll just said it. I want him to score goals. I don't want him to get assists. What I don't want him to do is fucking beat a man and then check back on himself and then try and beat him again. I don't want him to do that. I want him to use his fucking brain.
I can get on board with that.
Yeah. I'm gonna say my little interjection on Millwall now, because it's, I know I've done a video on it already, but it's a bit strange because there was a lot of forced changes in that game, and like you said, Mayenda went out on the right hand side, and he did, like you said, Mayenda was really class on the right hand side. But it's the first game where I think we've had more than one striker on the pitch at any given time in their natural position, So Connolly and Isidore up front together. They won't playable, especially for the majority of that first half.
Did we play two, Smudge, or was it like one and then one a little bit behind? I can't remember.
But they were playing off each other, so they were like
around, weren't they?
It was nice to see, like, not only the Isidore trying to break through the lines and Connolly having pop shots on the edge of the box. It was just nice to like have more than one outlet in the box, and if the ball goes over the top, the other winger picks it up. It's that,
yeah.
I think, there's a B tactic. Obviously, it's not our go-to. Our 4-2-3-1 is our go-to tactic. But if there is some issues in the midfield, like we have highlighted in the last couple of weeks, we've got that other option as well. And it works. It was a really solid first performance.
I can agree with you. If you look at the stats and the ratings, outside of Mepham, Isidore and Connolly were our top two rated players in that game. So they obviously somewhat worked up top there. Chrissy Rigg got 6.4. Not sure what he did wrong in the Millwall game, but
I don't think he had a great game. Chrissy Rigg, a little bit lost, mate. And that's what I said, the midfield looked much better against West Brom. What I want to say about my final point on the Millwall game is the referee. Mate.
Yeah.
That's the game, because there's something happening in the fucking crowd. Fair enough. We all get that. Let's have 15 minutes in the changing room, then bring them back out for 4 minutes, and then blow off a half time again. So basically, the lads who were playing had 30 minutes off, cool down. Now, Connolly went off injured. I don't know how bad the injury was, but I said that as much as when you can't warm up players, cool them down, and warm them up again without someone getting injured. You know what I mean? And Connolly went off. I don't know, It could be nothing, but how stupid is that? You know, use your common sense. You've had 15 minutes in the stadium.
That's
take 4 minutes and then turn around and start again.
The common sense, I think he was fully aware of, mate, though.
Idiotic. I can't believe, you can't be pragmatic being a referee.
I
will be 3 points.
Tell you why. I get it. Yeah, so it's the rules. So even in his brain, and I don't often defend the refs, right? Even in his brain, he's like, this is fucking stupid, but if I don't do this, you know, the little point score that they get off the fucking FA, he'll fucking drop through the floor. And he's not going to start, sabotage his own career.
They should look at that, the FA, and go, you know what, that was stupid. We could injure players doing that.
That's why you might have an adjustment.
Can I ask you a question about this?
Are they going to change anything because of that? Because it was a game in the second division.
Well, yeah,
second division of the pyramid.
Let the one, it was that one who's just been called sniffing beak and going to Thailand.
What? David Coote.
Yeah, they let him do what the fuck he wants, so you know what I mean?
They're investigating him now, you know, because I don't know whether you read this.
The yellow card?
Yeah, the yellow card. So he told someone, one of his mates or whatever, he was going to boot a player prior to the game, booked him in that game, and then texted his mate after the game and said, I hope you back the booking as discussed.
Oh, mate, he's done for.
If this guy referees again in the fucking English league, it is a travesty, because this is fucking legitimate bullshit. This is what we're dealing with on a week-to-week basis.
Anyway, back to the 15 minutes and 15 minutes, right? I know we're talking about injuries and you know, that could have caused it. What about this? We were ahead. We were 1-0 ahead.
Mm.
They give Millwall's gaffer 15 minutes to tell them all about what was happening, and then give them another 15 minutes to talk her about it again. So they got double the time to come up with an action plan to fucking get back in the game. I don't know if it was me, but I thought that Millwall played, well, not great, but better in the second half. You know, they had the opportunity.
It was always tactical of doing, so I don't read too much into that. I just feel like it was momentum for us. I don't know, just no common sense. I was just like, I mean, I get one of those things, the rules, but honestly, it needs to be looked at, because it's just fucking, it's that.
Yeah.
I think everyone agrees it was silly, but I think the referee was maybe a bit...
The thing is, though, I don't think there's anything tactically that's overly changed to influence their leveller. The only thing that changed, if you look at how that second half was going, they were pushing higher up the pitch. We were pretty much... We hate seeing it from opposition, but we did it in this one. We were parking the bus. We were playing extremely deep for a lot of it. And then the way they get their opportunity is on our one attempt to get a second goal. We had one attempt in that entire second half to go forward. We committed numbers, and then they punished us on the counter. I think you just continue with Park on the bus. If it was effective for 45 of that second half, why try and get a second to settle it?
We know
you already settled.
Here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. 1 week ago against Coventry, we were saying, "Don't park the fucking bus." Go
I'm not saying park the bus is a good tactic. I'm just saying it was effective for 45 of those minutes in the second half. Why did you need to change it up in the last in injury time to try and get a second goal? You weren't trying for 45 because we did that pushing further up. All of a sudden, out of the blue, to get a second when we didn't need a second. That's what caused us to be vulnerable at the back.
I just think
you always need a second, mate.
Yeah, but that's hindsight. I know you always need a second, but that why didn't we try to get a second in the 60th minute, in the 70th minute? We could have tried and pushed further up then and had more time to react if they did catch us on the counter. We just, if you look at the entire second half, we did not attempt to go forward at all. Like, see it out is what I'm ultimately saying here. We need to see it out.
I think it's easy for us to criticise. Like I said, a week ago we were saying, don't park the bus, we're inviting pressure, and this week we're saying we should have parked the bus and seen it.
It's easy
for us to sit here and say, in hindsight, we should have done this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't know.
It's a good doctor to say decide which
one. I'm just all for whatever works defensively.
That breakaway was part of the plan, or do you think like somebody just like went left field and just
basically, we went forward, should have scored. They counted and scored.
Yeah.
I was disappointed with the defending because there was three players chasing on well, we're bombing forward for Liverpool at Liverpool. Now, fast forward next year. It went Millwall. It went
fast forward next year, like that.
This time, like, fuck Liverpool. It was, no, three players were chasing them. And then there was two Millwall players at the back post to tap it in. I just thought we were a bit, you know, disjointed and all over the place. So
The 93rd minute, like?
It was. I know. I was fucking raging. I was just like... Because it's good. Like, I'm sick of fancying, oh, you know what? We drew. It was fucking the 92nd minute. What do you want me to do? Like, fucking cartwheeling on. Never mind, lads. Well done. Of course I'm fucking foaming. You could see the 92nd minute, you know what I mean? I'm not angry as such at the team and the players. I'm just angry how it's manifested. All right, but like...
We are in a decent unbeaten streak, like.
You know, I'm still angry.
We are unbeaten.
At least 10.
The minute it was, the manner it was, you know what I mean? And I did see it a bit lightweight. And that's why I want to see it against West Brom game. We look good with Job in the middle of the park. We look decent, like. But you can't keep relying on them three. With them three in the middle, we need to have another plan in the middle of the park. Because we have the back line we have, we can change people around. You can go left or right. O'Nightingham right back. Alicia can go left back. O'Nightingham centre half. Ballard and Meth. You know what I mean? We've got options there. Up top, you've got Mienda and Isidore. You can change the wingers around. But it's the middle. I just feel that without them three, we struggle a bit. So,
we need a parachute a guy into that midfield, maybe an older, seen it before, done it before. Sort
maybe
of
he's been in the club before.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe he's been here before. Maybe he's maybe he grew up in the local area. Maybe he went to school with our lass. Is that what you're saying?
I wasn't not going to say that, but what I'm saying is we need maybe one or two more. Well, definitely one. Just who fit that role with them three. Now I know Henderson's been talked about. If he came, of course you'd be happy to come back. The bloke's got bags of experience.
Won it all, Eddie? Won it everything?
He's done everything. It doesn't matter, right? He could still do a job in the Championship, and people could learn off him.
Definitely do a job in the Championship. Definitely.
If the option's there to get him, then why? If he can get us over the line, because that's at the end of the day, that's what we all want. We want to get over the line, and we want to get up. If he can do that, then why not go and get him? We'll put you in the 21s course reward and put you through your badges. Give him an option, you know what I mean? He's obviously not happy where he is.
PSV Eindhoven have played 13, won 12, lost 1. And then the next closest, it's not even Ajax, it's Utrecht. Anyway, yeah, they're nowhere near the top.
Is he getting game time?
He's made 19 appearances for Ajax. No
this goals. Season.
Oh, that's changed them. You've just said they played 13 games in the league.
Well, I guess he played 6 games in a cup.
How many cup games did they have?
I'm reading off Wikipedia, wild, mate. Like,
wild.
They've probably got a league cup in, like, I don't know. They might have two cups. Like, we've got two cups. I don't know. I don't really know anything about Dutch football.
All right, 3 with wing backs. I don't like it. I don't think our team suits it. And I don't think the doctor likes it either. I think he's forced to use it sometimes based on who's available, you know, who's injured, who's suspended.
Yeah, but we've had
do not look as good as we do.
Have we ever started 5 at the back? I don't think we have ever.
No, I don't think so.
No.
So he just puts 5 at the back when he has to.
When we went 5, it was Coventry, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 2-1. I thought he's definitely going to put 4-9 in the middle of the park here, and he went 5 at the back. So I sort of get, like, you know, giving Lisa a bit more game time, whatever. But I think there's a reluctance there of putting 4-9 in the middle of the park.
I think, like, you can move him from, like, centre back to right back, right? And he has played in centre mid before. If he can be shifted out wide to right back, there's no reason at all he can't be shifted forward in centre mid. I just can't say, like, I just don't understand why he can't be there.
You can see there's a reluctance to put 4-9 in the middle of the park because that Coventry game, I thought he's definitely gone because Brown got injured.
Yeah.
And fucking who else got injured? I remember. Oh, it was Mundell. And I thought he's going to push 4-9 in the middle here, and he didn't.
And, on that, you force changes in the middle of the game and you've got to react to them. The thing is with Labrie, he doesn't. Or he does it very, very slowly and it's overly analysed. I don't know if that's just how he is switched on or thinks about it, but you can, us as lay football fans just go, you need somebody there, get them there. But he's thinking more like, well, if I put them there, then they've got 45 minutes. And you're like, just, if it works, we're laughing, we're loving it. But for the last games where we've took the lead and then pegged back to a draw, the changes have either been, in our hindsight and humble opinions, slow and the wrong ones. That's it. At least he is making some logical changes. I can see why he would be thinking that. And that's, again, what we haven't had in the past with some of our previous gaffers. And I'll not mention names because we'll go on a tangent. But I do like that about Labrie. I know it's not worked in a couple of games here and there. And what have you, we're dropping points.
At the start of the season, I distinctly remember Alan saying, you know, Reggie's saying some of tinkering and it's coming off. It just hasn't come off in the past 3 or 4 games.
And that's it. So I think it's
a nice thing into the West Brom game, doesn't it? Because
it does.
He got players back. Didn't really have to tinker.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought we were very, very good for the whole entire game.
We were.
Yes. And I mean, West Brom pop the bus?
No, it's called low block now, you know, mate. Anyway.
Build a wall.
And the Mexican
build the wall.
And they will pay for it.
West Brom, we smashed them pretty much for 90 minutes straight. I think they only had one opportunity, and it was the one that Ballard kind of like cleared off the line. It was a fast breakaway, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was.
We were very good. Like, and I know you were at the game, Al. I watched it on the telly, and I couldn't get the Frankie Francis stream. So I was watching the West Brom one with the West Brom commentators. Basically, for 90 minutes, they were like, we're getting absolutely smashed here. Like, it'll be an absolute robbery if we get anything from this game. And even at the end, after the full-time whistle was going, they were like, I feel like we just won that game. Like, we're going away with a point, and we deserve absolutely nought. Like, it was some real truth on the West Brom.
I respect that, being honest. That's massive change. Yeah,
we absolutely smashed them top to bottom. Like, just one of those unlucky games. Like, but
18 shots, mate. 18 shots. We had 13 corners. They had 2 shots, 1 on target, 2 corners.
This is where you want Patty to do well, like Andrew says. Although he played well, it's like set pieces weren't happening, his corners weren't happening, his shots weren't happening. You know what I mean? He's doing the right things, but it's the final sort of end product that's not happening at the minute.
It was in probably the prime location for Roberts. You know, it was about
he hit the wall,
not quite 30 yards out. Yeah, just slightly off to the right hand side. You know, literally perfect for like a whip sort of left footer, and didn't even get it out of the wall.
I just want to talk about Tommy Watson quickly in that game. No.
Okay.
He did okay, but I just think he's not ready. It's good he's getting game time, and we want him to come on and we want him to progress, but the two mistakes he made nearly led to goals first half, he's not ready for the step up yet. He's not ready for 90 minutes anyway, in my opinion. Like,
I think that, yeah, I'm on board with a 90 minutes comment, but I'm not really sure about him not being ready. Like, you got to remember a lot of the choices that Labrie's got to do before the game is Mundell's gone for a couple of weeks. Who have we got that is liable, who's not liable, responsible and good enough to step in? And he's obviously chose Watson because he's got talent. You can see.
Oh, yeah,
just needs to nurture.
I know he wanted to get Robert Spartan in the squad, and maybe having two left footers, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
It would like upset the balance of the team. I understand why he's put Watson in there, but for me, I'm with Alan. I don't think he's good enough. Well, he has got the talent. Like, I can see it, but I'm not on board. I just don't think he's ready for it. He shouldn't be starting that way.
I
know that we've got issues, you know, with injuries in that area. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Get it.
Mm-hmm.
So
but there's got to be a better option than Watson.
Meander is your option, right? But if you don't want to start Meander and Watson's not ready to start, the only other person I can think of that can play there, and we haven't seen him this season, Oshish. I think that's our only other option.
Abdullah Bar.
Bar wasn't even on the bench. He wasn't even on the bench.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm just saying that's me. You know, he's still at the club, isn't he?
Yeah, there's still options, but the thing is though, the people he's not picking are French. What, like, yeah, is there something they're having conversation-wise where they fell out or something like that?
I feel about Oshish's fucking...
delivery.
Oshish's dead balls. Comedy DVD in it, Christmas release.
At least he played Wilson through the middle and he didn't put Wilson out wide. You know, because a couple of weeks back we were saying, don't fucking put Wilson on the wing, and he hasn't put Wilson on the wing. He's actually played him through the middle. And now there's a hole in the wing because Mundell's injured. So,
that's one we mentioned.
At least he's realised that, like, you kind of put Wilson on the wing, he's fucking ineffective. Yeah. Looking at the bench, Oshish should probably be the only option on there. Unless Alexis can play kind of further out wide. But I think he wants to play through the middle, doesn't he?
He's
a winger,
isn't he?
Through the middle type of guy.
Alex Hitch is starting to come into the fold as well. He's only 19, but he looks decent. Terrible moustache.
I mean, he should have scored, to be fair. Look,
well, he
should have scored, but...
Remind me of his chance, because the games are, like, folding at the 1A. I can't remember what happened.
It was a through ball, and he sort of managed to get one-on-one. He came in from the left-hand side, and it's just
great.
Beat the keeper, and it went straight at the keeper, mate. And then they went down the other end and scored. So
it was right at the end, was it? Yeah.
Pretty much, and I mean, look, I'm not. It is what it is. You know what I mean? It's unfortunate, but at least he's made the correct run. He's got in the right position. He's young, obviously.
Well, Dan Ballard had four shots.
Danny Bizzle. It's good to see Dan Ballard back. You know what I mean?
He had fucking 14 corners. I had an acker on. I ran the matter because I had four quid of me Paddy Power, and it was going to come in at 40 quid, so it was almost 10-1. And Hull let me down. Fucking Hull didn't win at home. Bastards.
We got beaten off, Sheffield.
Why are you betting on Hull winning?
Just looked like I just had a good feeling, mate.
I got a feeling,
and it turned out it wasn't that good after all. All the other ones came in, mate. I put Burnley on.
Oh, where is
it?
Yeah, reasonable.
I can't remember, but yeah, they all came in apart from. Apart from Hull.
Apart from who? Yeah, thanks, Billy. I was going to go a few words. All right, let's move on.
I've actually... Like, yeah.
There you go.
No one needs
to know. So basically, he should have scored. He should have scored.
There is a player that I think none of us have mentioned on the wing. Is he injured? Is he just like slow? I know he has played a couple of games, but not really broke into it. Pervedo.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Vido,
this guy's a fucking waste, mate. I'm telling you, he is a waste, man. I don't want to see him anywhere near the first team squad.
And he's going to come on and score exactly like Connolly did.
Sorry, he offers less than Connolly.
I wasn't convinced when he came in. I'm still yet to be convinced. I really want every player in our show to like light the world on fire, but I just can't see that. And I'm with him.
I said this before, mate. Like, I don't think he looks fit. I think every time I see him, he looks like he's carrying some Glen.
I don't know. I'm going to have a look at
his stats and
that.
Is he liking the Greg Sausage Rolls too much? Is that what?
Are we ready? Right, he's only played games in the Championship this season, right? Three overall, so one of them must have been the top. Right? Right at the start. Ratings, 6.9, 6.3, 6.3.
So average.
He's played a total of 44 minutes. Obviously, no goals. Doesn't average more than one shot a game. He's had 8 touches per game. It literally, one tackle. The guy has not touched it. I don't know if we can judge him on that, but based on what I've seen, I don't think he's... there's a reason why he's not getting picked. That's it.
It's waste of a first team slot, like, get shot of him.
We bought him though, didn't we? He's on a, like, an actual deal. Like, he's got like a 2-3 year deal or something.
Sam Eddie, another one who's injured, who should be back in December.
That was the guy we bought who was injured, yeah. He hasn't played yet.
Yeah, is he back
in the mid though? He's a centre mid, so right. Like, when he comes in, we might have another option in there.
And we've got Joseph Bennett back as well. He's not in the Greek leagues anymore.
Yeah, he just plays in the unders, doesn't he?
I think there's some players ultimately from that. There's some players that are not in favour. Maybe they're not fit. Maybe they're not at the quality level that we're expecting. But we do have replacement options, and they will make mistakes like Watson has. But it's how many mistakes, how far behind the rest of the players and the team
share,
are they on?
I don't want to share.
No, I'm not.
I think it's hard.
No.
I do think he's talented. Like, I think there's something there, but I think he's it's too soon. Like he kind of is. I could see him coming on for 15 minutes at the end of a game.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way he should be playing 90 minutes. Like, and no way.
I think that's what I think he should be doing for the majority of them as well, though, until he gets his big moment. Because you can have 15 minutes of a game and people go, oh, well.
Compared to Rigg, like Rigg came on his first handful of games, miles ahead of what Watson's doing, miles ahead.
Yeah, but with Rigg versus Watson, you're comparing, like, I don't know,
the 2 bit builders,
a Ferrari to a Punto. You're like, you're going to work hard, you're good.
Rigg's. It's all front of the place for Rigg, you know, his attitude's good, his output's good. You know what I mean? But not everyone's going to be like that, you know. It's some people's journeys are different, but all I'm saying about watching is I just don't think he's ready yet. I'm not saying he's never going to be ready. You've seen it. For me, he's not ready yet.
Too fresh out the box.
Can we talk about...
Right.
Have you got...
What we're doing, Shark Watch?
Shark watching Tony Ivins.
Tony Ivins.
All right, okay.
Oh, right. Let me just double check, because obviously we're doing this time next week. How many games have we got between now and then? I know we've got the Sheffield United. Actually, no. Our next game after the Sheffield United is Stoke City on the 7th.
At home.
What day is that?
At home, yeah. Saturday.
Oh, so we've got 8 days in between games.
Yes.
Fucking hell. The lads are probably going to fly out to Miami.
I'll quickly run through our December fixtures. Stoke City, 7th. Bristol City, the 11th. Swansea City, the 15th. This is my times, by the way, so there's slightly different. Because they're saying 2 a.m. on the 15th. You're not playing at 2 a.m. So Stoke, Bristol, Swansea, Norwich, Blackburn, Stoke again. That's our December fixtures.
Mate, Jake will be fucking jizzing in his pants playing Stoke twice. Like,
right, so we only need to do the Sheffield United for our good old friend Tony Ivins.
He's been blowing up my phone recently, asking why I haven't been on a roll. He's about this.
Did you see you? Davey, are you ill again?
I need to tell you some odds. Ask me some questions.
Okay, so for Sheffield United to win against Sunderland 2-1, what are those chances with the Sunderland goal scorer being Chris Rigg?
2-1, Rigg. What, first or any time?
Anytime.
Anytime, right, 1 second. I'll just text them right now.
So, yeah, that's my prediction. Yeah, 2-1 loss.
No, we're not asking Google.
Oh,
or Paddy. We're asking Tony.
Tony's like, he's the direct line, isn't he?
Yeah, man, it's injected into his veins, mate. Like, he just knows it off the top of his head, right?
Just why Tony gets back to David on that, talk about the Sheffield United game. They're obviously a really, really, really good team. Like, are they top or the second?
They should be top, but obviously the 2-point deduction for not paying the players properly.
Deduction, yeah. So, like, they are going to be up there. It's an away game, and it's a short turnaround. We've had a lot of games back-to-back again. I think it's going to be really hard. If we get a point out of it, if we get another draw... If we get a draw out of it, I think it's a fucking excellent point. Like, I think it's a really great point. If we manage to draw away at the Sheffield, we're probably going to get up.
If we got battered, Frankie Francis will say the same as what the West Brom guy said, and he was like, "Oh, we deserve fuck all." Like, no, what a robbery!
Frankie lives in his own little fantasy land where, like, everyone conspires against Sunderland at all opportunities.
My metric of we've had a good performance in this game is going to be 5 shots on target.
We're not getting 5 shots on target, mate.
That's my metric. If we have 5 shots on target, we've had a good game.
What if we have 2 shots on target, score twice, and they have 10, score none?
I mean, that's a really good result.
It's
a really good result. It's not a really good game.
44-1. Do you want us to have a look and see whether we can get the old 5 shots on target? See what that is.
Yeah, if that's like 70-1, you see what I'm talking about.
Okay. Hold on, I'm doing it.
How many did we have in the West Brom game?
Shots on target.
Mm-hmm. I know we had like 20 shots, but how many on target?
I think it's actually not too bad, you know. 5 shots on target for Sunderland, 12-5. That's like just over 2-1. I thought it would be higher than that.
I think it might be 0-0. What's sort of 0-0?
Oh my god! Do you want to know whatever stats are listed on footystats.org? The West Brom game, we had 30 shots to West Brom's 3 shots, and we had 3 on target to their none.
All right, 1 in 10 at the target.
What was the extra?
Are they counting like blocked shots from like outside the box?
I don't know what they're counting. It's just a number. It's just a number.
All right. 7-1, 0-0.
I think 7-1, 0-0 is a good. Like, that's worth a flutter. Like,
I'm doing some research. Sheffield United.
While David sorts it out, Alan, what are you thinking about the Sheffield United game?
Fucking 1-0 Sunderland.
Oh. 10-1. Alan, who's scoring?
Danny Ballard, either.
All right, then.
Daniel Jones.
What would be funnier if
he said 149-1, Alan. 149-1.
Look, we're a decent team. Look, we just can't say a bit of a blip, but you know, just keep supporting them, and there's a lot of the playoffs. Even though if you got in the playoffs, I'd be like, I'd take the playoffs. I feel like it's so much of a lottery, I would hate it. Even second now is like, I don't know. I feel like we're destined for the fucking playoffs.
I don't know.
Well, we've got to start winning games. I know we haven't lost.
If this is our blip and we're still unbeaten, 10 games unbeaten on a blip, like, that's pretty good place to be in.
I'll be on it. Are you watching this much?
I am, but I don't know if I can do a watch along.
I can't stream it. You can't stream it.
Oh, you can't stream.
Okay. I'm going to try.
For 88 days.
For 88 days.
All right. Okay, is that what it is? Right.
When did we win the Papa John's the Pizza Cup?
4 years ago, I think it was.
4 years ago.
4 years, 3 years. Yeah.
Remember. It was a McGeady assist and then Gooch scored.
Really?
That's getting good.
I remember.
Fuck the mags.
That's getting good. For that one.
Right, I want to do it. No one will understand. Right, we're doing it. Yeah. We're doing a spotlight chart watch because I didn't do all the graft. I'm just going to
pick it. Right, cut straight the chart watch smudge after the betting.
When I first started this theme, this little bit, I wanted to play the Jaws theme at the start of Shark Watch, but then it didn't work. Hey, right, we're doing Spotlight Shark Watch, and this week there's only one player that I want to talk about.
Nice.
And it's Pierre Ekwart over at San Etienne. Thank you. I mean, it's been a long time since we've talked about him, but you'll be pleased to know that he's put in some real performances out there. He's been playing. Yeah, he's been playing primarily defensive midfield, but he's also played a bit further. He's also played a bit further up in centre mid, right?
Yeah.
Right. Since I'm just let's have a quick check. 1, 2, 3. Since he got beat 8-0, he's actually been doing all right. Right. So he's drawn one. John one game. So this is like I said at the end. I've drawn one game, won 3, lost 2 since then.
Okay. What were the stats though, mate? I don't need the team stats. We need what was his contribution?
No, I'm digging down into it, man. So he hasn't scored any goals, and he hasn't got any assists. But
he was on the pitch.
But he was on the pitch. No yellow cards. No red cards. This particular game against Strasbourg, when they won 2-0, he was man of the match. He got 8 out of 10. Hit them, Clarkson. Telling ya. 8 out of 10 to you, Ekwall. And, yeah, that's right. And in that game, he completed 88% of his passes. 42 out of 48. That's the highlight.
Thank you for so much. Right, I've got a question for Davey. When are you changing? When are you changing your profile picture?
Never. That is, until there is a man on our team that's worse than Ekwar, it's got to be that man. And there is, ever since Dylan McGeoch left, there has been no one as bad.
Yeah, we could roll him off somewhere. Deb Larson.
Who should I do next week? Who else is out on loan? Do a spotlight shot watch. Okay, we'll do a spotlight shot watch on Tyrantis next week.
Oh, should we do the play? Okay. Yeah, he's sat here. Hibbert Aaron.
Yeah.
He's
about him.
Play of game.
All right, that's shot watch done.
Okay.
All right, cool. Thanks, Andrew.
Cool.
Really, all right. That's all the cut list.
That's all the content, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Neighbors become good friends.
I'm gonna stop recording now, so I'll use that as the outro. Right. Like and subscribe.
Imagine if fucking like Luke Warnine started doing like fucking celebrations after every time he tackled someone.
He literally does that. He literally does.